Our gospel reading for today comes from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You can have a seat. Well, good morning. I'm not Ashley. It's true. My name is Seth, and I am one of the associate pastors here at Christ the King as of 5 weeks ago today. And so I'm so glad to be with you. It's St. Patrick's Day, by the way. Did you wear your green? Okay. Yeah, you did. You came out in force. Well done. Well, today also marks week 5 of Lent. We're almost there, y'all. We've almost done it. We've almost made it through the wilderness together. Next week is Palm Sunday and then the celebration on Easter. I hope you're looking forward to it as much as I am. So just by way of review, real quick, Isaiah, 2 weeks ago, he invited us to extend forgiveness to others, but maybe starting with ourselves. So extending forgiveness to ourselves and to others. And then last week, Ashley invited us to practice confession, to acknowledge the ways that we've given in to our fear and mistrusted God and hurt ourselves and hurt others in the process, so that we can name it, so that we can move through it, so that we can get past it. So to quote Ashley, so that we can get on with it. Yeah? As only she can say. Also, so that we can have this access to the Spirit that's in us again. Be filled with the Spirit of God, the animating Spirit that gives us life and light and hope and joy, real joy and peace, freedom. Sin is bondage. We're here. But when we can confess it, we can come out and we can see again. We can see God, we can see one another, we can see life. So this week, there's so much in this text that we could chase after. But this being my first time, Ashley was like, "Choose one, choose one." She's wise. And so I chose the first one that stood out. And it's the Greeks. They come and they say, "Sir, we want to see Jesus. Can you help us?" See, this is a desire that connects all of us. We all want to see God. It's just baked into humanity. We want to see God. Greeks, Jews, all of us. So this morning, I want to simply invite you to look for Jesus. Look again. Keep on looking for him. Stay curious and attentive. open to maybe finding him in places or in people that you hadn't expected to find him or been taught to look for him. Look for Jesus. For me, this desire to see God has really just, I mean, it's led my life. It's led me to search the scriptures, to read a ton of books, to listen to an ungodly amount of podcasts. And it's led me to write songs and poetry, just trying to process what I know of him. It's led me to experiment with spiritual disciplines, to see what life with God is like and to try to enter into it a little bit more. And in recent years, it's led me to explore various Christian traditions. And that's been a really rich time because I've gotten to see more of Jesus, see more of God through a lot of different views and lenses. And ultimately, that has led me to here, to CTK, to be with you all. And I'm so grateful. My wife and I and our family came right around the first of the year. And again, this is week 5 on staff for me. And so it led me to this spot right here, whether I chose it or not, it chose me. And so I'm sharing just a bit of what God has been teaching me, what I've been learning, and in a minute, it's going to lead me over here to help lead us through our communion liturgy on my little newborn baby deer Anglican legs as we wobble through it together. But again, we all have this desire. We all want to see God. And so this morning, what I want to do is I just want to name a few areas to encourage us to look for him there, to look for Jesus in prayer and look for Jesus in community and look for Jesus in our suffering. First, prayer. As you can imagine, there are a million different definitions of prayer. But at its most basic, we're just talking about communication with God. It's communication with God, and it involves listening and speaking. If you're like me, I grew up it was almost exclusively the speaking side of prayer. And, it was the time that I tell God all the things. Or actually, maybe more accurately, is when I ask God for all the things. Just me? Come on. And then it became something that I was taught to speak words of adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. Some of you know that model. It's a good model, as long as it makes space for listening. This is what I want to emphasize. This is a two-way conversation because it's about relationship. Prayer is about relationship. Pursuing a relationship with Jesus. That's what prayer is about. And so it involves listening, so we have to learn how to listen for God. When the scriptures talk about praying without ceasing, for me that was always like, oh man, how do I do that? It felt like a burden. But all it's talking about is just processing life with God. As you walk through your day, being prayerful and processing life with God in an ongoing conversational kind of way. It's looking for him in each situation. What might he have to say about this? What perspective might he bring? What approach might he take? We're not alone, y'all. God's Spirit lives in us. This is the good news that Jesus brought. This is the gospel that he preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, to me growing up, it sounded a little bit like a threat. Now I understand it as an invitation. Repent. Hey, stop. Reconsider your way of life in light of this new revelation, the availability of life with God and his kingdom. You can turn around and you can enter that kingdom. You know this little kingdom that I've given you that you're trying to manage and it's real tough? Well, you can bring that under God's kingdom. You can bring that there. You can live under his rule and reign, drawing from his resources, finding a friend in him. Life with God, it's real and it's good, y'all. And prayer is the way that we engage it. So we can look for God in prayer. Second, we can look for Jesus together in community. So the Greeks, notice it's Greeks plural. It's not just one guy. So he gathered up a few of his buddies and he's like, okay, let's do this. You guys, you in it with me? They got some courage and they started approaching Jesus' disciples. They found Philip, who then brought Andrew into the mix, and then they all go together. That's a great picture of the church. Let's be curious together. Let's look for God together. That's the invitation to search with us, to learn with us and from one another. We're not all the same. We have different vantage points, different experiences with God, different gifts to bring one another. And I was thinking about that this morning, just the different gifts that I've encountered since being here. First of all, just this morning, like Steve and the team, like what a gift they are to our body. Yes? I was thinking about Parker. Parker, yeah, there you are. Every time I see that guy, I'm like, there's Jesus. Like, I see Jesus and Parker in the way that he is hospitable and the way that he has joy and is beautiful. And so sometimes it can just be you being you is just going to add something to the mix. It's going to be a way that people can see Jesus. People that are setting the table for me this morning because I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm grateful for them. There's so many gifts in the body outside of just even this space, we know. So I want to invite you, step in. Come on into the church. Be a part. We need each other. If we're all adding to this thing, then we're all built up together. But I have to acknowledge that maybe you're apprehensive. Maybe you're a little tentative to step in to the church for the first time or again. And I get it. Maybe you've been burned in the past. Or maybe you just burned out. I felt that too. But I also know that the answer is not to sit it out. It's not to stay on the sidelines, on the edges, in the crowd, just watching from afar. There may be a season for that. But in order to find healing and to begin to grow again, you have to risk relationship. You have to step in. So I want to gently invite you, step in. Join us. This is, I can speak on behalf of the leadership here at CTK when I say that we want this church to be a safe space. Safe space for you to come in and heal and ask questions and get stuff wrong. It's okay. We want this to be a place of life, new life, of freedom, real joy. But you have to step into it in order to participate in it and receive from it. And just for me personally, stepping into this body has been a step of healing and a step of growth, and just to be in a place that I feel like is really kind of cultivating the seeds that God's put in my life. And so I'm really grateful. And I want to invite you, join us. You can find him in community. And lastly, Jesus can be found in our suffering. Oh man, evil and suffering. Difficult things to reconcile, yeah? Have you ever asked, why would God allow this to happen? My guess is if you're human and you're here this morning, you have asked that in some way, shape, or form at some point in your life, in the wake of a diagnosis, maybe. The loss of a loved one, in the face of senseless violence and hatred, in that nagging awareness of that sin struggle that just won't go away, or maybe something like a worldwide human trafficking crisis. Where are you, God? Where is God? I'm afraid in our desire to assert God's sovereignty, to kind of comfort ourselves, I'm afraid we may have pushed that point a little too far. God is all powerful, yes. God is all knowing, yes. But God is not domineering. And he is not controlling. He leaves room for us to make real decisions that have real consequences, decisions that can lead to life or that can lead to death. Without this room, we'd just be robots. But God gives real room for real love. Without this room, we couldn't love. He allows us the opportunity to choose him. That's love. To choose one another. To choose life. The consequences of not choosing to trust him, they're all too apparent. And they go all the way back to the garden, don't they? So if God's way is not to bar evil from the world, how does God engage our suffering? Compassion. He enters into it in order to redeem it from the inside out. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. This is what Jesus shows us on the cross, that God is love. God is self-sacrificial, co-suffering love. He enters in. This is what Jesus shows us. This is one of the deepest, most profound opportunities to find Jesus in our suffering. Jesus enters into our suffering in order to redeem it. You can find him there when you learn to look for him. God's answer to suffering is love. And love begets hope. And that's why it's so powerful when we show love and hope through our suffering. Jesus is glorified in our loving and in the hope we hold on to in the hard times. It's not our suffering that glorifies him, no. But the love and the hope we give to others when we're suffering. Jesus said, "I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself." We lift him up when we choose to love and hope through the hard stuff. And that, more than anything else we can do, draws people to faith when people see Jesus through our lives and through our love. So let's keep looking for Jesus. Let's look for him in prayer, both in the corporate, formal, and formative kind of prayer, and that everyday, unceasing, conversational kind of prayer. Look for him in community in his church, in this beautiful and messy group of people that are sitting all around you. He's here. And finally, look for him in suffering. He's there. He wants to redeem it. He's with us. He's with us. And his invitation is for us to be with him. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.